A weak solidarity brekkie team listener when we must offend former big supremo and minister for just everything else, Scuttle Them More Lash Son, a.k.a. Scummo, from all these attacks on his renowned, his famous integrity, because how could he tell the other ministers, let alone we the people, when he couldn't even recall being sworn into those portfolios? Understandable when there were so many swearing-ins. And okay, some people question his honesty just because next day he explained why he did what he couldn't remember he did. But goodness me, only because he forgot what he said the previous day. People can be so cruel, can't they? Demanding he resign would, of course, be a severe punishment, as he would disappear into the political abyss, clutching a lifetime of his massive parliamentary pension, a severe punishment. While his integrity is being a touch more than questioned, at least no one's challenging his reputation, which has been confirmed, and so we must for once disagree with the True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review's arch-conservative political editor's headline yesterday, "Secret Ministerial Deals Tarnish More Lash Son's Legacy." Of course not, they reinforce it. Bringing us to the righteous Lord Rupert of Wapping Media, suddenly critical of poor Scummo, perhaps conveniently forgetting that just a couple of months ago it was editorialising to us that we must re-elect the Minister for Just Everything as the Minister for Just Everything, which would have solved the problem, because then we would never have known he was the Minister for Just Everything, with Cabinet meeting at night with the lights out so Scummo could keep them in the dark as well. But now the man they backed, copping headlines like, "My party and I'll lie if I want to." Maintaining that musical theme, what a difference a day or a few weeks of days make. Meanwhile, the socialist government elected, despite Lord Rupert knowing what a disaster that will be, is refusing to criticise Her Most Gracious Majesty's representative. When you see him, you see her. Former number one trained killer David Hurley the Blame, General Hurley the Blame, who nonetheless picks up the week that was the Buck Stops Here award for hurling the blame, blaming Paul loves the dear baby Jesus would never tell a lie Scummo, but we would expect nothing less than loyalty from the number one trained killer whose big role is sending the cannon fodder off to kill and be killed. And good to see the socialist lot, who in a short time have shown they just love a bit of trained killing and trained killer merchandise, for refusing to criticise a big trained killer, an honourable man. Interesting that a hitman paid to kill is a despised criminal, a volunteer in uniform paid to kill or order inferiors to kill is honourable. While on train killers, notice the train killing is glorious memorial in Canberra this week was tracking down Indigenous volunteers who went to Vietnam. Now, it's not my role to tell them, but I can't comprehend why any first True Blue Aussie person would ever volunteer to defend this country and what it's done to them, but as I say, it's not my place to advise, but the trained killing is glorious memorial bloke said these Indigenous people had volunteered to defend True Blue Aussie. And could someone explain to us which bit of invading, slaughtering and destroying in Vietnam at the behest of a US, of the UN, of the US of the world, which didn't like what the Vietnamese people wanted for themselves, was defending True Blue Aussie? But back to the point. Like Scummo, I feel my incredible talents are being underutilised, and thus I plan to declare myself presenter of another 23 programmes on 3CR. And the clever bit is, the presenters I'll be replacing will have no idea that I've taken over their programmes. Ingenious, eh? To make my takeovers official, I'll get the station manager to endorse my actions and pledge her to secrecy as well. But Scummo's multi-talented roles are nothing compared to the week that was sport this week, with the announcement that Alistair Clarkson will coach at least 8 AFL teams next season. The AFL admits this will create a few fixture problems, but none it believes it can't sort out. On a perfect weekend, they could all be playing each other, so Alistair will only have to coach at 4 games. The poor old coaches, well, not so poor, particularly Alistair with his 8 salaries next season, the panting, breathless footy journos who analyse it and coaches, like it's of world-shattering importance, seem to overlook that even if they won a premiership in order, on average, a team would win one premiership every 18 years. And the AFL wants to add more teams to make more money, so supporters are very patient. The then Parallel Minister for Fossils and Pollution, Keith Pitpony, was distressed that his approval for gas expansion off Newcastle was rejected by the then Parallel Minister for Fossils and Pollution, Scummo. But Scummo explained this week he had rejected the proposal in the national interest. But Scummo, you waved a big lump of coal around in Parliament, told us not to be afraid of it. You championed a gas-led recovery. A gas-led recovery was in the national interest, you said. And had I still been Minister for Just Everything, that would still be the case. But this particular gas-led recovery was the wrong-coloured gas-led recovery to be in the national interest. Wrong colour? Certainly, it had a distinct teal glow to it. So it was the caring business class party in your own personal interest rather than the national interest. Same thing. Oh, and Scummo's successor, Constable Peter Duffer's in-depth comment, it's time to take, you know, like move on. The new government also supports more gas and coal, but also aims to reduce destroying the planet by 43% within 8 years, making the most complicated circus juggling act look simple. Although one ball circling through the air reads, we will pay the big polluters who are destroying the planet lots of public money to destroy the planet 43% less. Because it's not like the big polluters have made fortunes out of big polluting, causing the problem for which they're receiving heaps of corporate welfare. Like, say, Santos us the public purse, which has just, quote, stared down fossil fuel activists and pressed the button on a new $3.7 billion oil project in Alaska, for which the Troubadour Aussie taxpayers will hand it lots of money, while that repository of government largesse, the airline which used to be our airline, will be one of the biggest beneficiaries of even more government largesse, showing that the government is spot on in its more gas, more coal, pay the polluters target. And if that hasn't cheered us up enough, listener, a Bloomberg report out of London told us, it's never been a better time to make money by digging up coal. Why, lucky, lucky Glenn don't care, coal first half earnings surged 900%, real figure, to $12.5 billion. Evil China is boosting coal production by 300 million tons, and good India is developing lots of new mines. Saudi Aramco Pollution Co. announced a 90% increase in oil earnings. The massive profits are yielding big paydays for investors, Bloomberg boasted. All the more reason why the big polluters need lots of taxpayer money if they are forced to stop doing what they do. Well, not do it quite as much. And yet the same report reckoned all this made the Paris targets almost impossible. What it shows is obvious. Irresponsible governments are not providing nearly enough corporate welfare for the planet's responsible huge polluters. Oh, and if all that hasn't cheered us up enough, listener, over in the US they've formed a Clean Hydrogen Future Coalition. Doesn't that sound promising? Well, it would if Shell, BP and Chevron weren't on the board and advocating that clean hydrogen somehow means coal and gas hydrogen. And if that isn't enough to cheer us up, Cornell Professor Robert Howarth showed this would be even more polluting and expensive than just using gas outright. Oh, but that suggests highly respectable great transnational corporations like Shell, BP and Chevron would resort to greenwashing. Shame, Cornell Professor, shame. And back here, a not-so-evil union, the AWU, has passed a resolution opposing all hydrogen being just green. We prioritise the scaling up of hydrogen irrespective of type to maximise the opportunity for the hydrogen-exporting economy. We can't let green activists control the national conversation. It displayed its concern for the planet. Oh, silly me. All of the above share our concern for the planet. But despite all these massive, filthy, obscene stuff the planet profits, sadly the time is still not right for lazy Aboriginal workers to get a pay rise. And even more sadly, the real evil unions are no less evil, forcing that determinant of all that is good in this country, our old mate Innes, will cost the workers of the Trubliwazi Industry Profits Group to attack a thoughtless anti-Trubliwazi proposal by the ACTU that wages should be lifted that in return for increasing the permanent migration intake. With his usual impeccable logic and concern for all of us, Innes said this was impractical and would wreck the skilled visa system. It could well mean we have to pay them. He was distraught, showing how cruel the evil unions can be. And the totally neutral, only cares for all of us, Trubliwazi Chamber of Commerce and Industry Profits backed Innes's wise words. The wage increase will kill Trubliwazi's migration program overnight, Supremo Andrew McKillar Wages revealed the depth of the problem. It exposes the divisive class paranoia of the ACTU that it would think that caring employers would for one second even consider exploiting migrant workers. Let's hope the evil unions show a bit more give and take with the caring employers' sensible proposals at the Job Summit Accord Mark II. There's already been a clash between that Sally McManus of the ACTU and the highly responsible, caring for all of us, Supremo of the Productivity Commission, Michael Bring on Profits. Now, of those two, who do we trust? The non-partisan Productivity Commission, of course. See, she says wages are not keeping up with productivity, while he says low wages are because of a lack of productivity. And she used a comparison of productivity against the wage price index, and he said, and this is where he proved his argument, the comparison does not tell the full story. Case closed. That didn't need an explanation. Hasn't that put the evil unions in their place? Speaking of place, the Coles to Newcastle award of the week to salt, sugar and fat franchise Domino on the Nose, which last week closed its so-called pizza franchises in Italy. Italy! Can't understand why the Italians would reject Domino on the Nose and keep eating the real thing. What were they thinking in the first place? Finally, the... Hang on, I've been handed a note. Oh, it's from the station manager, obviously endorsing my clever idea. Let's see. Oh, no, this is ridiculous. No way, you idiot. You've got to be joking. What? There's got to be a mistake. Our listener knows there's never any joking on this segment. Look, I think I'll show her. I'll take her job, but I just won't bother to tell her. Good morning.